Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee. And it's supported by our lovely friends at KiwiBank. I'm Frances Cook, an independent financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Now, I'm pretty sure we're all feeling this way right now. The cost of living is pinching. And all of those little luxuries that give life some sparkle, out the window. So can you live the good life for less? Or should I say, become bougie on a budget? Sabby J has been going viral for her tips on how to do exactly that. So, what are her best tips for feeling a little more luxurious without racking up the credit card bill to match?
Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission and the difference it makes when you understand the money world. For KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of inspirational and unconventional approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a real difference to the lives of their customers. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi.
All right, joined now by Sabby J, who is a business owner for SJ Social Consulting Agency, co-founder of Not the Ordinary, and a content creator with your amazingly viral series, Bougie on a Budget. You've got a lot going on, but I've got to say the big thing that really caught my eye, that entire series around being bougie on a budget, what a series for the time that we are currently in. I think we all need this. So let's start with that. What does it mean to be bougie on a budget?
Well, first, I think before we go into what it means to be bougie on a budget, I just want to say Bougie on a Budget has just hit 2.8 million views across TikTok and Instagram and over 200K interactions. So that's like likes, comments, views, like likes, comments, shares, saves. And I think I didn't realize how much it was needed. Like, I just did not know. Yeah. And I think for me, when I started Bougie on a Budget, it was actually kind of like, you know, you follow a strict amount of how much you spend, but you're bougie, you know, like you want nice things, but you have to find a way to have those things. So you might have financial goals, you might, you know, want to be spending in certain areas, and you just have to find a way to make that work while maximizing your budget. So I actually think bougie on a budget is really just about like maximizing how much you earn by finding like smarter ways and nicer ways to spend your money.
Everyone, I think, is feeling the pinch right now. So it's so needed. I mean, what first gave you the idea? You know, like you said, you actually didn't realize how much this would be needed. You just started the content series because you liked it. You enjoyed it. But so what first gave you this idea that you wanted to become this bargain hunting queen? Were you feeling the pinch like the rest of us? You were inspired by something? Tell me more.
Honestly, I think I was like meant to be born into royalty, but I was like born into poverty, that mediocrity. And I just knew I liked finer things. Like I liked my oysters. I wanted to have a nice little drink. I wanted like fine European flex linen bed sheets. But like, how do I, you know, how do I manage to have all those things? And I think for me, what it was is I just realized like I want it. Like, how can I have it? And what are the ways that I can have it? And the only way is really the only option is to wait for sales, do your happy hours, do your secondhand thrifting. Like, how can you still have this without the way that people show it, where it's like an excessive splurge, you know, and you're buying it on full price? So I think for me, I knew I liked the finer things in life, but, you know, to an extent of like, what is the reality of my situation? Like, how much can I really afford and how can I make it happen? And the reality is like, I don't think that I should be put in this box where, okay, I was from a middle-class family or, you know, we struggled, so I can't have these nice things and I'm going to take a while for my career to pivot. So I'm going to have to like be careful and invest in my career and then I get a property. I was like, what can I do? What are these little things that I can do to still have nice things without breaking the bank? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So where did you start to get yourself some of these nice things?
For me, the biggest one was socializing. I think for me, I really struggled to catch up with all my friends because a lot of them lived at home. I was at uni. And then when I came out of uni, I started my business, whereas they went into all full-time secure jobs where they could now all of a sudden go out every weekend and have dinners. And that was the social norm. And I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to have like two drinks with like a main and an entree. And then we all go like split it. And then I'm like trying to cut back. And, you know, there's like the culture of like splitting the bill five ways, but you only have like one cocktail and a food. And I didn't want to be that person that's like, oh my God, I want to pay my exact amount. You know, you should be careful, but you want to be culturally aware. And I think for me, what I found was I started looking for happy hours. So I could so afford to go and have oysters or have like a happy hour meal with a cocktail for $20. And then what I noticed is my friends actually wanted to go. Like they wanted to go to these places. They were so excited because not only are they saving money, but they can also, I don't think they wanted to save money. They just wanted to drink more and eat more. You know, they could have so much more and feel full. And while I could cut back on my money, right? Like I could cut back on what I'm spending. So that was one of the things. And then I think another big part was what I found was, you know, I'd prefer to kind of like eat at home or something and then like go out for like a nice one drink, you know, try change it that way. Not like dinner and drinks and let's go out after, but like, hey, let's just do a quick catch up after work. Another big one was I started hosting at home. So if it was someone's birthday, I'd be like, okay, well, one day this week outside of your birthday, why don't you come over for dinner? And I'll put like, you know, fancy glasses with sparkling water, put in lemons, you know, I've got a lemon tree, put some lemons in, put some fancy straws that you can get from Kmart. You can buy a pack of macaroons from Countdown for $13. And I would make a homemade, like a beautiful homemade recipe, even if I did just two steaks, you know, with some mash and food. Imagine if I had to take a person out plus buy them a present. You know, like dinner for both of us plus a present plus drinks, you know, it's going to cost you like $150, $200. You want to still give your friends that treatment, but how you treat people can come from like a place of thoughtfulness instead of just like paying. So I think those were the two areas that I really started in. And I think the other big thing was I really wanted to understand fashion. I wanted to understand beauty, like how to take care of myself, how to have the nicest home. And when I learned all of those things and what I really wanted, I think a lot of my purchasing became intentional. So I literally have like a buying list, right? Like do you want me to quickly show you? Like we're right here. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, for sure. Why not?
So I started reading books on like capsule wardrobes and stuff because I just felt like I never had anything to wear. So I actually have a sheet where I have, and people are probably going to think I'm nuts, but that's okay. I'm okay with this opinion.
A little nuts can be fun.
So I actually have an Excel sheet here where I have tiers. I'm embarrassed to show, so exposing myself. I've tiered the purchases I need to make. So for example, essential mid-range pieces, basic essentials, and then luxury items or more classic items. And then I've written the exact item I want and how much it costs, right, from the store. Then if I can ever find it secondhand or the store has a sale, like say 40% off, 50% off, and I need like three items. So the next thing I want to buy is a t-shirt from Skims and the push-up bra and the thong. And I've even put it all, the thong's like $60. I have to, it's not just a casual purchase. You have to put it in bulk, you know, you have to make a bulk order with shipping. So, you know, so I put it all in a sheet and I'm waiting for the sale. So I'm not going to make an irrational purchase. I'm not just going to quickly go to Glassons and buy like the $50 shirt and then end up buying the one that I want later for $100. You know, it's like very intentional purchasing. And I learned about a capsule wardrobe. So I think it was all about learning, like, what do I really want for my life? Like doing those vision boards and the Pinterest boards and being like, what exactly do I want for my room? Because today, if you took me shopping, Francis, for my bedroom, there are zero things I'd want to buy. Like there's nothing. There's not even my head. There's one thing I want. I curated and made my room the exact way I want. Like maybe I could do with a candle, but you don't need it, you know? So when you have that intentional list and then you also have all these work purchases and home purchases, like I want to get a stick vacuum, you know, like you put it all and you tier it and then I color code it and I know exactly what to buy.
I love this. You are nuts, but I say that in the most like endeared way. I just think it's absolutely fantastic.
No, this is very A-type.
Very.
And I'm just trying to find my A-type soulmate who will have our house purchased, like everything we want to buy on an Excel sheet, you know? That's all I'm looking for.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I want to go back to what you were saying about socializing, and then I'm going to come back to this fantastic list as well. It's brilliant. But what you were saying about the socializing is brilliant. And I think there's an underrated factor there for the social life is, if you take charge of the social life, A, people love that. Nobody wants to be the organizer. It's so fun being the organizer. But you can also say, you know, rather than having to have those conversations of, oh, someone suggested going out for dinner, it's going to be dinner and drinks and then a whole bunch of stuff afterwards, and I don't know if I can afford that. you don't have to have that uncomfortable conversation when you're like, okay, I'm going to research some happy hours in my area. And then I'm going to suggest to the group and say, hey, we're going to come around to mine. We're going to have some snacks and then we're going to go to this happy hour. And it's already on your terms. It's already fitting your budget. And to take charge of that socialization, and then to also like, the art of hosting in general, of course, it's a bit cheaper if it's done at home and you're not having to pay for the people who are bringing the drinks.
No, but just significantly cheaper, so much cheaper. Like I could probably do a hangout and my friend will probably regram then and like talk about it for a week and feel like a princess. And it probably costs me around $30.
Well, exactly that, right? So to make it feel bougie, to make it feel like a fun event and still feel really nice together, how much research did you do in order to become a good hostess and not feel like you're missing out on anything by having these things at home?
The OG Martha Stewart. That's all I did. I watched Martha Stewart. Have you seen Martha Stewart like host, or have you watched like Mike?
I love her. She scares me though.
Yeah, she does scare me. She's so funny. She's just so blunt. I actually learned like all my cleaning, hosting, cooking, Julia Child, Martha Stewart.
So you like a scary white lady. Okay.
I love a scary white lady. Yeah. Just to tell me what to do. And the finance bros. 6'5" blue eyes. 2, tell me what to do and I'll do it.
That's brilliant. And I think, I honestly think that that is something that as I've got a bit older, as I've really embraced hosting and trying to make things special within the home, it can be a little bit more work, but I don't think it's that much more work, right? Give us a couple of your top tips for having a nice time at home.
Alcohol-free drinks to save money if you're providing the full hosting makes it so much cheaper. Do a spread. Like instead of doing individual dishes and stuff, just do a massive spread. If you're on a budget, go to Pack and Save and go for the low-end stuff. I hosted my birthday. I wanted to put on something a little bit nicer. So I did get out like caviar and stuff like that. This is a one-off, okay? This is a one-off, Frances. This is a one-time thing in my life. Okay, I'm not doing it again. It hurt the bank. But hey, I'll give you an example, right? So there was over, I would say about 40 girls, and the total food cost me under $600, which I actually don't think is bad for food, like cutlery, everything. And I'm talking top of the range. So I just went to New World and got everything. I got a cleaner in the morning. So cleaner comes in the morning. It costs $80 for a cleaner to come and clean your kitchen, put away all the rubbish, take any extra rubbish with them. I think my tip for hosting is, yeah, do that. If you want to have a big party or event, actually consider just having it at home. It is so much cheaper than taking out an event if that's what you want. And the feeling like the girls loved it, you know? I think I probably got, not that this matters, but more people shared it and more people talked about it for a longer time because of how beautiful it was hosted at home. In terms of like decorations and stuff, I just went to look sharp, you know, grab a few balloons, have a few glass house candles in your house, or even just the cheapest candle you can find, lay them out. It's all the little details. And just, yeah, the sparkling water with lemon seems to really get people going. I don't know what it is. It's just such a nice touch at home to have sparkling water and people just stay off drinks.
Yeah, no, I love it. And in terms of, you know, you're wanting to buy things, you make this amazing list and you've set out your priorities.
I've tiered my purchase.
Yeah. I also think when you write things down, right, it really clarifies things a bit. And in terms of, you know, it's the old saying of you can have anything, but not everything at the same time. You do have to at some point choose. And when you see it all written down, it becomes so much easier, I think, to see what actually matters. And actually some of the things at the bottom of the list, that's quite clarifying, right?
Yeah, well, I've put all the designer purchases at the bottom. Like I want a Hermes belt, you know, that's not a priority. I'd rather build my classics. I don't know. You might have noticed I've lost a lot of weight since I've last seen you or last been online. So I had to redo my whole wardrobe, you know, so I've gone down 2 sizes. So how can I do that efficiently? But I also apply that to home business purchases, beauty items. And I have like little trinkets and knickknacks that I want to buy. And you know, that knickknacks page is where people spend that most amount of money, you know, that Kmart drop in. Yep. And you end up buying all this rubbish and garbage. I still have my knickknack list. I don't even touch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I really need this weird avocado slicer, 2 and 3 in 1 avocado slicer? And then it doesn't even work, you know? Like it's, you know, you end up realizing how little you actually need all these random gadgets and tools and trinkets and nonsense.
Because then, of course, once it's written down, you're seeing that if you get those little random things, it's holding you back from the tier one purchases that you actually want, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, would I rather spend buy five small things for like $200 even? It's, these days, everything's expensive. Or would I rather have that one good purchase? Or would I rather go buy this cheap top that's not going to last as long? Or do I buy the one quality top, like this one I've had for four or five years, right? Not a single pilling. It's just Zara. But like, do you know what I mean? Like choosing the exact top that you want. It might be a bit more expensive, but you're going to get more longevity out of it. So it's just making better choices and not like, what's it called? Impulsive purchasing. So if you took me to a mall and gave me $500, like I have a list ready to go, but I probably wouldn't buy anything that's not on the list. I don't never go into a shop. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'm going to buy it right now. Nothing's that important. It's completely cut out my spontaneous shopping, impulsive shopping, compulsive shopping, the shopaholic in me, just going to the outlets and buying like all the stuff that you don't need.
So I think that leads to a really interesting point where how much of this is mindset? How much of this is research? You know, when you're turning this lifestyle into reality and sticking with it, the numbers are always one thing. Actually doing it and doing it long term is always another. So mindset, research, other things, what are the factors in here?
Honestly, it's like a 24/7 mindset that you have to have, I think. It's also a set of like values and practices that you apply. And then I'd say, yeah, there's an aspect of research into it in making it happen. So for example, if I have a catch up with somebody or an event, do I know, I need to know the exact set time where the parking is free. Where is the free parking? Do I want to, is it cheaper to Uber if I have to pay for parking? Something like that, right? You have to prepare for all these things. You can't, it's like if you're not prepared, then yeah, you're going to end up driving there and end up in a Wilson parking paying $40 for the night. So having that level of preparation, even in your parking, right? That's an example. Like I said, you have to schedule your catch up. So there has to be a level of research and practice based where, you know, when someone asks you to hang out, you actually have to slide those times into happy hours. So either 12 to something or blah, blah, blah. So you have to be disciplined to have all your work done before then. You have to be disciplined to know when you're going to the gym. Well, I go to the gym, but you know, whatever, if you've got your hobbies, you've got your kids, how can you fit it in around this, you know? And then you have to have those conversations, not just be like, oh yeah, we'll meet wherever, we'll see how it goes. And then you end up in the most expensive cocktail bar where you're spending $40 for two drinks and you're going home starving. Whereas, you know, if you applied one of my tips, you could be a full tummy, one drink, go home and go to sleep, you know, not have to make dinner after. It's a mindset of abundance, really, that it comes from. Mm-hmm. It's not actually, you think bougie on a budget means being tight and scarce. It's actually about how can I make the most of my money? How can I get the best gift for my friend? How can I, you know, treat my friend or myself to a happy hour for working so hard and enjoy it without having to worry about the bill and count for a drink and entree and main how much it's going to be? Or I want to sleep peacefully in my own bed with some beautiful sheets, you know? And I think for me, it's just like looking for value in luxury. Like cheapness is not good. Like a cheap dish doesn't mean it's a good dish, you know? Cheap isn't necessarily quality. If you can go for the quality, like I would rather not go and eat a massive plate of like, say, noodles on Dominion Road. I would rather go oyster and chop and have two oysters and a cocktail for the same price on the viaduct and watch the sunset. That's the exact same price, $15, $15. I'm not even joking, unless they've changed prices. Two oysters is $2 each. And then I think you have to order a minimum of six or something, but you know, between girls. And then a cocktail is $10, you know? Look at the change of quality of the experience you're going to have in the two places, the atmosphere. You want to dress up, you feel good, you know? You're obviously going to dress up and go. Whereas if I was going to go to Dominion Road, I'm just going to wear my sweats, you know? I'm not so fast. It's just like elevating your lifestyle. And honestly, hanging out with the right people who understand your budget, don't mock your budget. I used to have friends that like, it's such a level of privilege to live at home with rich brown parents or rich parents. And then they get their pocket money and they get their student allowance. And then they go out and get to have fun. And then they're like looking down on me because I have to dress a certain way or I have to borrow clothes or I couldn't come out and have these foods and I'm broke, right? Because I am. I'm a broke student. I don't live at home. I have to pay rent. I'm not ashamed of that. And I had to make it work. And then I found the friends who like, you know, I'll give you an example. A few of my friends are getting divorced. Very expensive divorce bills. First of all, don't get married.
Isn't it funny when you hit the stage of life where friends are getting divorced? I find that very strange that I'm in that phase too.
So I'm like, what can we do that's like affordable? You know, like, why don't I host you at home? Why don't we go just to an event when I get invited or a free movie or whatever? So you have to make it work when friends are going through hardship or people are going through hardship. There are going to be times that you take a step back, but you need someone who is just like, you know, so transparent about their own financial and budgeting situation, but they also understand yours. And people who are just like genuinely giving, good at giving advice as well. Like, you know, for example, I'd say we're friends by now. Like I can send you I've even sent you like financial pitches that I'm sending out for brands, or we've talked about brand deals. We've talked about money. What should I charge? And you should be able to have friends. You can ask these questions. Hey, how much did you actually pay for that bag? You know, or how much did you pay for your house? Or like, how much did you save for your house? These are such questions that seem so like gatekept. You're not allowed to ask about money. And then you don't even know how to get a step, how you meant to get a step ahead. Like you see your friend and you admire them. How are you meant to get that step ahead if they're also gatekeeping? Or they don't tell you, or they're not honest, or they're not transparent. Oh, my husband paid for this, or my parents paid for this. You know, like where is the transparency? So
it's funny that, isn't it? I think that the people that you spend your time around can be really important. Like you say, being able to get have those honest conversations with people around you, because, okay, it's all well and good to be doing the best you can and trying to get through life and make good decisions. When you can pool resources and pool knowledge with other people around you, that's so valuable, isn't it?
It is. And that's what I've really leveled up from learning around people. It's my friends gave me a lot of the bougie owner budget. I'd started the few bougie owner budgets myself and looked into it. Everyone started telling me, nobody gatekept. Everybody started telling me their bargains and chips. And now I have a full Excel sheet. Maybe I'll give it to you. You know, if you want an Excel sheet, I've got it.
Nicole from our friends at KiwiBank has the inside word on how to get rid of your mortgage years earlier. Sometimes it really is as simple as finding an extra $20 a week and knowing how to put that to work. Want more? Check out the episode from 24th of April, How to Crush Your Mortgage While Rates Are Low. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. People ask me all the time where, you know, how do you balance quality and price? And I am just such a believer that if you're careful, you can have both, but it is going to take a little bit of pre-planning. I mean, my go-to is secondhand. That's how I balance quality and price. But what about in general for the just not spending at all? I mean, that's the cheapest of all, right? Is there anything that you simply don't spend money on? It is not worth it to you.
There is one area that you always have to spend on, which is dining. So going out and eating, and I just do not care for it. So I will literally eat before I go home, and I have no embarrassment to sit in front of my friends and say, I'm just going to have a Diet Coke and a little entree, you know, versus having the drinks, entree and dinner. Dining is probably one that it comes out in 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see the value in it unless it's a special occasion. There are areas you have to kind of, if you like dining, you have to sacrifice fashion and beauty. If you like beauty, you got to sacrifice X and X. So for me, I've had to sacrifice dining to want to buy I've got to buy my whole wardrobe. Got to put the money in there, take it from dining.
Speaking of that, though, being a content creator, you would spend a lot of time online. I think it's really easy to get FOMO through social media. That is a massive trap that so many of us can fall into. It seems designed, a lot of it, to get us to buy more and spend more. And we go on there looking for connection. We end up finding things that might make us feel bad about ourselves and wanting to spend to fill that little hole in our souls, you know? So how do you balance that? Spending so much time online and making sure you're not getting that FOMO feeling?
I think the FOMO part is really up to like what you consume and how you view your life and your contentment. Like when I have my list of everything I want to buy, when I have my goals, I don't really care what other people are doing or what they have. Like it, you know, I've seen my friends buy like this gorgeous like new Coach bag, or there was some ridiculous, you can put in all these colors and YSL makes a custom lipstick for you. It's like $300 USD and you get like a custom lipstick swatch. I was like, oh, I want it. But I was like, I don't need those things. And what I realized is I started consuming content. So I muted a lot of people that just push consumerism, and it was just quite wild because I'm an influencer. I push consumerism and materialism and capitalism, and, you know, I know what I'm doing, but, you know, I try to do it responsibly, ethically, and what's aligned with what I actually actually use, right? That's my spiel. The issue is I think you have to be really careful of what you consume. You should archive anything that is making you feel FOMO because, you know, how are you going to, I think you should be kind to yourself and be like, okay, cool. I'm feeling a certain way about it. Maybe I just leave this. For me, a big one was like definitely seeing people like on holiday in the Maldives. I want to leave to the Maldives right now. I'm like, I don't need to see that right now. When the time is right, I will start, you know, because I went and lived in Bali for a bit. Last year, as you know, and then I went and stayed in Sydney. So I want to work remotely this year. I want to work remotely in South Korea. When the time comes, I'll start consuming South Korea content. But if I start too early and I'm not ready and it's not hitting my financial goals, I'm going to be booking my trip sooner. So I think there's that level of like impulsivity and spontaneity that we all have that we need to kind of put it back by muting, you know, keeping that list of things that you want to order, being very careful that you're not consuming. Like I've muted all, I love all the food creators, but I've muted all their pages. I do not need to see the buffets. If I see the buffets, you will see me there every weekend, okay? But if every day you're consuming things that you kind of want, but you're not ready for, and you're consuming these clothing, makeup, beauty hacks, like, and you're just going to go and splurge, you know? It's just human behavior. You see these things in front of you, you know, you want it. Really great book to read is Essentialism. Yeah, it's all about the less amount of consumption, doing 10% of what you want, the top 10%. That's it.
I'm on far too many social media apps. And one of the things is I see a lot of people say about LinkedIn, it's the classic, the bros and the LinkedIn culture and how nauseating it can be. And I just sort of think that is definitely there, but I have found some really interesting people who are sharing about work. They're talking marketing tips for free. They're talking podcasting tips for free. They're talking all this really interesting nitty-gritty stuff. And anytime I get some of that bro-y, awful content coming across my feed, I just mute it. I get rid of it.
Oh, I hate it. I want to flip my laptop. You know what's so funny that you bring this up? I knew this is where this was going. Yeah. And you should see, like, every other question had a few bullet points. When it came to this and the finance bro, I have paragraphs ready to to spit at you when you're ready. But ask the question first. But I'm ready for the question.
Hit them at me. Hit me. I want to know your thoughts. Tell me.
I think how you increase your financial knowledge, you know, is up to you. And I think the avenues you go down that I think, first of all, it's so important, like you're doing, right? Consuming financial knowledge. You're probably learning even more. I mean, you're so leveled up. You've got two books behind you. Like you can chill out now.
But there's always more to learn. That's the best thing. There's always more.
Learning makes all the difference, but it really depends on your goals. So if you want financial abundance, if you want a property, if you're looking for a mortgage, if you're looking for investments, you know, follow the top tier of the people in those spaces, right? So I'll tell you some of the ones that I follow. There's this like awful woman called Frances Cooks.
Yeah.
Check her out. Yeah.
This is terrible.
She's a meanie. She's also a mean white lady. Multi-millionaire, such an amazing one. My friend Baddie, I don't know if you know Baddie Money.
Oh, yes, she's great.
I really like Hannah Kumarkis, how she breaks down her budget. I don't think it applies to me, but I like watching it. You know, it's cool to see. And then Em's Toast is the girl that does all the grocery shopping. She says how much she spends on grocery shopping and gives you a cost breakdown analysis of the recipes she makes at home. Sometimes the recipes are like $1.50 per serving. I didn't even know that's possible. Wow. With all you got your macros in there as well. So, you know, I look at these really good accounts where they're technically not selling anything. You know, they're not selling a course. They're not selling a book. I know that both you and Multimillionaire, you do sell your courses. But like, it's not like you're plugging like, hey, look at my 100K months, you know, look at my 100K months. But hey, here I'm going to cry while I'm getting bullied in a bikini and say that I have 100K months and you can have them too. Like, that's not how you're selling it, right? You're selling education. You're selling elevation. And you're not even selling it. You're just sharing the way you guys do it. I would buy your course without thinking twice. And I think the biggest issue I see as well is like a lot of people follow banks and financial advisors. What you don't realize is they are trying to sell their services to you. And because their services are so niche, they almost create like this level of like fear, scarcity, you're missing out, FOMO, to think that, oh, I should go see a financial advisor now. Like I need to get into a property ASAP, you know, or I should go and get like a bank loan for blah, 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 or get a credit card because I can get points. And they tailor their knowledge and advice. And I know I sound like I'm outside of the system or some nut job, like some cure. Might as well wear like a mesh, like what's that called? Like foil on my head.
Get a little tinfoil hat. But it's true. You've got to think about people's motivations when they're selling you stuff. I do think looking at people's motivations is useful and helpful.
Yeah. I think the big one for me, and I know I'm going to probably get some hate from some people, the finance bro. Like, you know, the finance bros, I just can't. Like, the flexing of the muscles, like the dancing while giving like really bad advice that we would probably get like at a literacy level when we were 12 years old, you know, but they're hard and they're flexing their muscles and they're clenching their jaw already. I can do it.
Glorious.
You know what I'm saying? We know that sex sells, right? Like, we know sex sells. Like, I know sex sells. But it's not, I'm joking. But like, you know, beauty and that sells, but it should not sell in finance. You know, like in this space, when it comes to your livelihood and your future and money is your life is literally tied to you, the money you make and the lifestyle you have. Don't choose a financial advisor or realtor because they're just attractive, you know, like just because they're hot, you know. If it's like some jacked finance merchant and can't push you to like buy a house before you're ready, or this really pretty realtor that's like, yeah, I could get you blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you know, choose the people who know their stuff, who are experienced. Like, don't end up like me where I had a crush on this really jacked dude and I gave him my money for crypto and he lost it all and disappeared and I never saw what happened.
Did this really happen?
It really happened, yeah.
No, tell me more, please.
But I was like, I was wowed by what he was saying, but also his like, you know, veins were popping out while he was telling me and I was like, oh, yeah, take my money. And this is when I was like 20, 22, 23, by the way. It was,
right.
We're talking like 8 years ago. I'm still very embarrassed. I don't think I've ever talked about this. But he just gotten into crypto and he'd gotten his trust fund from his daddy. And he was gonna put all his money in. He's like, yeah, give it to me. I can give you like 20% return and like gave it all to him. Went missing. Never even got it. Never even gave me, like he said it all, he lost it all, but he never even gave a report of how it got lost. And I followed up so many times. I even called his brother who I knew from high school.
You would think you can trust someone though that you've known for that long. That is absolutely wild. It is true though that the hot goggles can come on.
You need to do your research. Choose people who have been like, you know, have a proven portfolio, proven track record when you even get advice from them. Like ask the people who are making it, not the people who are, you know, trying to make it and look a certain way. And another one I wanted to say around this education thing is like, go back to the OG stuff. Like, don't forget the books. Girls That Invest, she recently put out, she wrote the top 50 finance books and she reviewed all of them or rated them or ranked them. Go watch that on YouTube, you know, go and see what other people have read. What are the, you know, the top 10 billionaires in the world, whether they're top 10 recommended finance books or whatever. I have a books that I want to read when I want to improve my budgeting, but also I would supplement it with something a bit more modern, something like your course, something like a few podcasts for the mindset aspect of it. You know, we do have such a vast amount of knowledge to consume and so many avenues. Where do you really get it? So I would say a mix of like books, podcasts for like to have that conditioning in your brain, do a course for applicable knowledge. A good course might be something like yours to learn about budgeting, or Girls That Invest if you're into investing, and then go see a financial advisor, do some courses in person, like as well. Like there's workshops by IRD if you want to learn about business and GST, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I think improving your knowledge and finding good, legitimate knowledge places is so important. I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier about, you know, you said, I come from a place of privilege. There are some things that I can do that other people don't. You know, it's bougie on a budget, but you're not on the bones of your butt. You know, you are living the nicest life you possibly can while, you know, as you admit, being quite middle class about it. You know, you're not the richest person in the room. You're not the poorest either. Where do you think is the line between cutting back on spending and then earning more?
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I don't think it's very like linear at all. I don't think it's like something like this. I think it's going to be something like this, right? Where at points in your life, you need to earn more and points in your life, you're going to have to spend less. For me, say it's very quiet period for me between December and February for work. That's the time I actually spend less. It's unfortunate because it's Christmas, but that's the time I have to spend less. When I'm saving for something big, like, you know, for South Korea, I want to buy a motorbike, spend less. But I also have to save for that motorbike. I have to save for that trip. Earn more. So finding ways to earn more. And I think you shouldn't ever see that you have to have this tight budget all the time, because there is a point in your life that sacrificing is not enjoying your life. You do get one life to live. You should enjoy aspects of your life, even if it's tiny things. So budgeting in a little bit for what you need, but also finding ways to earn more money. You should always be finding ways to cut back, get your refunds, you know, review your budget and be like, how can I do better? But at the same time, yes, you need to be earning more, but I think you should be going between both. I don't think it's possible to have an abundance mindset and a scarcity cutting back mindset at the same time. Mm. I think you can pivot between both. This is my opinion. This is what I've done.
100%. Yeah. And I think this is always going to be the case when we're having money conversations. So much of it is going to be deeply personal. That's why it's useful having these conversations with individuals where we talk about the different ways people do things. People can take what they want from that, leave what they don't. But there's a phrase that I came across that has stuck with me so much because I am someone who thrashes myself. If I'm honest, I will often try to be going balls to the wall all the time, 100 Ks an hour at every point. So I feel like I should have the best budget all the time, be investing all the time, be going, you know, 100 miles an hour at work, yada, yada. And I came across this phrase that said, nothing in nature blooms year round and neither should you.
I love it. That's exactly the point. Yeah.
Stuck with me so much. And I think that's the thing. There will be times when, you know, you want to go on your amazing South Korea trip. I got to go to South Korea for like, I think it was less than a week, yonks ago, before the pandemic. It was so great. You're going to have an amazing time. I think you're going to really enjoy it. But, you know, you're wanting to do that. You're going to save more. You're going to go. You're going to have a great time. When you maybe come back from that or go on to the next thing, whatever you're doing next, it's so exciting. But you might then be earning less, spending less. After that, you might have a little bit of a trough. And I think giving myself that permission of, yeah, nothing in nature blooms all the time and I don't have to either. It's been very freeing in how I approach all sorts of areas of my life, including the money, right? Giving yourself that permission to peak and trough. It's good.
I think it's like, yeah, it's like a growth and stabilize. Because the other aspect of it as well, you should never, I think there's a big one of like never trading time for money, you know? So for me, I think like I want to have the cleaner. I want someone to do my hair, do my nails, save me as much time as I can so I can spend that time working and also reduce the amount of things you need to do. Because if you're spending your entire weekend doing chores, picking up groceries, I even, you know, order my groceries on Milk Run just because it's easier. Do you want to be doing all these extra half an hour tasks instead of resting so you're fully, you know, regenerated for the week to come to work even better and make more money, you know? Hiring an assistant was something we were talking off camera. Like I've hired an assistant. Yeah, it's like taking a chunk of my money, but it's taking away all the little tasks and I can focus on the big ones for growth. And it's like finding that balance between when you're growing, you probably can't cut back as much because you do have to do a bit more takeaways, a bit more like running around because you're hustling, right? Your focus can't be cutting back. Then when you're cutting back, you can kind of take a space back because you can spend that time saving the money. Also, I have a lot of ways that you can make money, but I don't know if that's something you want to talk about or this.
Oh, hit us with them. I think everyone wants that. Give us your top tip where people want to earn a bit more.
For me, what I've found is like diversifying my revenue streams across many different things, but also it's all kind of aligned. Like, so for example, I'm a marketing consultant, but then I consult specifically on digital and social strategies, which I've learned from also being a content creator, right? And working with brands and having those connections. So then I'm a content creator as well. So I make videos for brands, but how I make the money is one, from making the videos that are put onto my feed from the brand. And then two, also doing collaborations. Like for example, I wanted to take my friend out for her birthday for a buffet. So I recently just posted a video with Cordis where they covered, you know, 5 people to go out, and I can provide that way as well and save my time. Like that's a time saving one, not a money earning one, right? So it's like going back between the both. Another one was I expanded into UGC content creation. So that's quite big overseas where you're making videos just for the brands itself. That's the difference between user generated content. So I started offering that as a lower pricing point for brands that couldn't offer the paid partnerships. And then I started like learning and building my knowledge in that. And I started posting about it. You know, you're on my close stories. I kind of post business behind the scenes stuff on my close stories. Somebody saw that, like a marketing lady saw that and put me in touch. And I've ended up becoming a co-founder of a second company that is from consulting on it. So I used my first company to consult for this second company. And then now I have a permanent role in the company as co-founder as well. So do you see what I mean? Like it's all kind of interconnected of making 4 different choices in the same kind of industry, but diversifying. And also I changed my entire process. Like in terms of business, it's like improve your product, improve your knowledge, improve your brand, improve your quality of service so you can charge more. So I know there's a lot of consultants probably charging a tenth or a quarter of what I charge, but I do quality high one-off consultations, one-off strategies that you can implement for 12 months, and I can charge a much higher pricing frame for that, and I'm building my website so people can book it at the moment. Another thing that I love to do, and you already know this, I love clearing out my house. every year I clear out my house, and you just never know. Like, you know, for example, even if I sold an eye pencil and a book today, I could make $40, you know, like it's ridiculous how much money you can make of just little things in your house. I did a clear out last 2 weeks ago. I just cleared out just some shoes and some makeup, and I made $625 that week because nice. Somebody bought a lot of it in bulk. So clearing out your house is such a great way to make some extra cash. Do a clear out, use the KonMari method, go through every area of your house, and then do some individual listings for the more expensive things. For the smaller things, group it up and sell it in bulk. Trust me, even $10, $20, it all adds up. It pays for your coffees. It pays for your parking, you know, like it adds up. And then find a side hustle. So my side hustle, I always assumed would be connected to, it makes sense to just connect it to your business. But I actually just wanted to try and have a different outlet. And I love furniture. I love interior styling. It's very off market from everything that I do at the moment. But I just started, you know, flipping furniture. It was actually like an ex that bought me a couch, and I flipped that, sold that. And that's where it started. But I started flipping couches, flipping furniture, selling furniture sets. You know, find a side hustle that maybe has nothing to do with work, and it's just a really great outlet. Like if you play the guitar, like teach some guitar lessons or play at a few gigs, you know, like mm-hmm. if you love speaking, whatever, like find a side hustle that kind of, I don't know, brings out something else in you. You know, that's what I found has worked. So between all those things,
yeah,
you don't really have to worry. You know, if one thing's not doing so well, you can lean on one of the others, or sometimes one thing will do really well and something else won't, or you can build one of those up and completely separate yourself from it, and it can be passive. So that's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to build my empire, Francis. I'm trying.
Your empire is going to be huge. I have absolutely no doubt in that. Look, we're going to have to wrap it up, but if you went back in time to before you'd learned so much about this, you've obviously upskilled yourself hugely on finances, on your business, and of course, living the bougie on a budget lifestyle. So if you go back to before you learned all of this, became the bargain hunting queen, what would you tell yourself if you were starting over? Number one, biggest piece of advice.
So what I'm going to say, I think me and you are going to understand because we're from the same generation, or a generation that understands this, but you can create a lifestyle for yourself without waiting for a man to come and save you and make your life better. And you can create it all for yourself without your dad, without the husband. You can create that lifestyle for yourself. Like you should create the lifestyle that you want.
Yeah.
People will come and fit into it, or you'll find someone who has that lifestyle. Don't expect someone else to come and save you. Even don't expect anyone to come and save you, your mom, your friend, your sister. You need to save yourself. You're the only person you need to take care of, and your financial needs and what you want for yourself and the lifestyle you want to create out of what you earn is entirely in your hands. And I think once I learned that, I created the exact lifestyle I wanted for myself on my terms.
That is, so I know that I was supposed to leave it there, but that is just, I need to dwell on this point a little bit longer because it's a really important one, and I love that you've made it, because it is true. There are things that can hold us back in life. There are real structural issues that we can be facing, and yet it is also true at the same time that nobody is coming to save you, that even if you have people in your life who you think can help you out, they can go. You know, at the end of the day, the number one person you can rely on is yourself. And so you might be facing real issues. You might have real problems that you have to overcome. And yet it is still on us to figure out a way to overcome it in the way that works for us, because that's the only way we're going to get the life that we want. I'm not saying that that's right or that's fair. I'm just saying that's kind of how it goes, right? And I love that you say the moment you accepted that, you actually started building towards what you have now, which I got from the outside. I obviously, we only ever know the outside of other people's lives, but your life looks pretty good from the outside.
It is actually.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't even put up the highlights. I just put up the everyday. But that was created all abundance mindset, creating all yourself, and exactly what you said. Like, no one's going to save you. And I think we were kind of brought up thinking, okay, we're going to find. Like, I'll be honest, I genuinely grew up believing, I'm going to find this rich husband, and he's going to take me out of West Auckland, and we're going to live in Remuera.
I love it.
We're going to live in Remuera on Arnie Road, and this is going to be my life. And I live off, well, I shouldn't say where I live. I do live off Arnie Road at the moment, which is, I'm renting. But hey, it's close enough, but I built it for myself. You know, I don't have to share my underwear drawer with anybody else. I've got my own scrunchie drawer. I don't know if I'd have that if I had a man come save me. But do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just changing that mindset that anyone else can fix you, or something, a miracle, a loan, anything can fix you. You have to take your money and put it into lifestyle you want. And not just that, every woman, I believe, whatever her career is, should build a brand for herself, should build a career for herself, regardless of whether she's a stay-at-home mom or not. She can take a step back anytime for kids, for life, whatever. Always have a career, always have a brand, you know? Mm-hmm. If you are in that line of like anything that is, you have public-to-public interaction and you have to sell something, have your own brand, you know, build your own brand, you'll get the opportunities. And you, the biggest thing I learned is like, no handouts from men for me. It's all, you know, my dad gave me a little treat for Easter, put some money in my bank account because he knows I'm all along.
Bless dad.
In general, I think I went into a women-led industry. So I feel like I've really capitalized on actually sisterhood. Yeah. And women are giving me the opportunities and women are leveraging me and women are supporting me. And I just found that it's not so much of a man's world if you don't want it to be. You know, you can create your own bubble and create this life where you don't have to worry about that. But that being said, you know, I am looking for a husband. I am looking for a man. So anybody watching?
Put it out there just in case.
No, just in case. I do come with a few restaurant backings and hotel stays and stuff. And I'm nice. I can cook. I keep a nice white room. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to put my foot too much in my mouth. Like, I'm so independent. I don't need a man. I can provide for myself. I live in a woman's bubble. That is true. But my point is that you're not so much serving the patriarchy as you think you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love all of that. All right. If anyone wants to hear more from you, your fantastic, very unique life advice, and of course, to get your bougie on a budget tips for living the best life for less, where do people find you?
Just two platforms, TikTok and Instagram, SabbyJXX. That's all. Or just search Bougie on a Budget. It will come up.
Beautiful. Love it so much. Thank you for coming on, Sabby. That is Sabby J. And of course, as I said, she's a content creator. She's a business owner. Check her out. She's fantastic. Now, if you have more questions about this, anything else to do with money, do get in touch with me. We can always answer them on a future podcast episode for you at Frances Cook NZ, pretty much everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Those are the main places, and also a lot more money content for you there to keep you on track to your goals. Most importantly, though, do stay subscribed to the Making Sense podcast, and that is where you get all the tips and tricks for looking after your money. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.